Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Love the line in that song where it talks about dead bones coming to life. How many of us standing in this room were dry bones and dead bones? I was. I think we all were. We all are, some of us still. Don't leave this place still being a dead and a dry bone. You don't have to. And I love that because right now we're talking about Easter and thinking about Easter and all the fun things that come with Easter. But that's not what our focus should be. Easter finished something. It was the resurrection when Jesus rose from the grave, and that's what brought us to the place his death and resurrection brought to full circle what we now partake of as Christians. But out of that, in Ephesians, it says that he left. He went back to heaven, and he left something with us. He gave us each something. He gave us each gifts. And it's so we could continue what he started. Not just so we could be kind of fat and happy Christians. Some of us are better at that than others, but it's so that we could finish something that he started. It's so that we could, not as one person, be Jesus to the world, but it would take all of us together, working together, ministering to each other, to be Jesus to the world. And so it takes away the selfish part of being a Christian, the selfish nature that wants to glory in whatever God has done and what God's given us. The fact that we need each other, the fact that it takes all of us to represent what Christ is and who Christ is, not just one of us. And so I want you just to take a moment and I want you to think about, what is it that God put inside of me? What is a gift? You don't have to know all of them, but what is a gift? Because I can guarantee you most of you have more than just one. But I want you to think of the one that comes to mind. So just close your eyes for a moment if you would. And just ask the Lord, what is the gift that you put inside of me? What is one of those gifts? Now I want you to just take a moment and do a prayer of commitment to the Lord about that gift, that you're going to promise him to use it for his glory, for his body, for him to be famous, not you. He's the famous one, not us. We represent him. And all that he put inside of us should point towards him. So just take a moment to make a prayer of commitment to the Lord. Help me develop that gift, Lord. Help me to use it however you see fit. Help me to become aware of where this gift fits. Just take a moment and make a prayer in your own heart to the Lord, and then we're going to pray together. Father, thank you for how gracious you are to us. Lord, how your hand is open to us. And your word says that you don't give us a rock or a stone or anything, but you give us good gifts because we're your children. Father, you give us things on the inside that cause us to relate to you and have a relationship with you in a way that is different from anybody else, even if they have the same gift, because you use us differently and you speak to us differently, which causes you to be our Abba Father. Individually, each of us, we can call you Father with the deepest of sincerity in our hearts, knowing that you are ours. So God, I pray that you begin to stir these gifts. Lord, stir them to a point where they just begin to bubble over and they can't keep them inside. That each person sitting in this room would be so aware of what you put inside of them, and they begin to see needs that those gifts can meet. God, that you would begin to stir us and move us as the body of Christ. Lord, just as in 33 years you moved through this earth and you created a tidal wave that's never been able to be crushed. God, I pray that you would begin to stir your body, that you would begin to move us, and that we would function well as the body of Christ, but as the body of Christ here in the church and to the world. Father, I pray that you would begin in this place with us, Lord, and with your Christians that are meeting all around the world to celebrate your life, your death, your burial, your resurrection. That with that, this year, there would be just a change in the world of what the body of Christ becomes and is going to become, Father. In the name of Jesus.
Good morning. Pastor Josh and Joni are on vacation with their family. And so they'll be back in about 2 weeks. So pray for them that they just get refreshed and rested and have just a great time reconnecting with their kids and with each other. Thank you so much for being here this morning. It's great to have you here. In the past couple weeks, Pastor Josh has been teaching about making a grand entrance into the kingdom of God, coming in to know Christ personally as your Savior. He's been talking about running the race without and casting off the sin and those things that easily entangle us. And he's been talking about what it means for us to run the race as disciples. And Jesus gave us an admonition. I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of John, please. John chapter 15 as a beginning place. We'll look at the instructions Jesus was leaving for his followers just before he was crucified and went on to be glorified and ultimately sit at the right hand of the Father. Take a look with me at Gospel of John chapter 15. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that your Spirit gives life to our words as we read them. They become alive to us. I pray that you would just cause that to happen today, Father, as we read your word, that it would come alive to us, that your Holy Spirit would whisper to our hearts and confirm your word. I pray that you would cause us to be changed by your word and challenged, and that we would not leave this place unchanged today, Father, but that you would have your way with us by your word and by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus used many things called metaphors, where he was saying the kingdom of God is like, and this is like this. He was always comparing things so that it was like something else. And in John 15, he's using a metaphor, and he's saying, as he was getting ready to leave them, they didn't realize what the impact of really what he was saying, but he was getting ready to leave them to be crucified, to ultimately die and be buried, and then eventually be risen again and then be glorified back up into heaven. And so they weren't aware of all those details were coming, but he was leaving them some very important instructions. And so when Jesus leaves an instruction, it's really important for us because it wasn't just for them, but it's for all of those of us who have believed in his name since then. Amen. Okay, let's start in John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. A little metaphor, an example of I'm like this. Okay. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while of every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, he uses the word remain there, but in other translations, it's sometimes it says dwell in me, or it uses the word abide in me, to be abiding in Christ, to dwell with him, to remain with him, to abide with him, to live with him, to stay with him. And it's a word that means don't stop doing this. Start remaining in him and remain in him. Start abiding in him and continually abide in him and continue to dwell in him, because something's going to happen in your life as you continue to remain, abide, dwell in him. Your life will be transformed. Your life will be changed. And those things that you struggle with, those things that you've had that have held you back, those you'll see those things change and lose their power as you spend time remaining in him. Look a little further in John 15, verse 5. I am the vine and you are the branches. Another metaphor. He says, not only is my Father the gardener, I'm the vine. Guess what? You're a branch. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you take a branch and you take it off of the tree and you just set it down, it's not going to grow too many more apples. Its apple growing days are over, because the branch has to remain connected to the life source. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. So it's a personal relationship with Christ. It's an abiding in his word, in his presence and in his word. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. One of the things that I notice as I read through this passage is Jesus is repeating himself over and over, saying the same things over and over. And I found out whenever Jesus repeats himself, he's saying, this is important, pay attention. This is important, pay attention. This is important. Bradley, are you listening? This is important, pay attention. It's like when I was a kid. Bradley, are you paying attention? I didn't introduce myself at the beginning, by the way. My name is Bradley Brisson. Bradley Kent Brisson when I'm in trouble. I'm one of the pastors on staff here, and it's my privilege to be able to share with you the word this morning. But I digress. Okay. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit. So Jesus is saying, okay, after I leave, I want you to abide in me. I want you to remain in me. And after I leave, this is what I want you to do. I want you to continue on, and I want you to be fruitful. I want there to be something that's visible in your lives that other people are going to see that will identify you as a Christ follower. It's not a badge. It's not wearing green. But it's some outward visible sign that shows that you're connected to the vine. He says, verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So as people see fruit in your life, they go, oh, you're one of those Christ followers. I recognize you now. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Jesus was an example of us, to us, of what it means to abide in love, in a loving relationship, and to be obedient to the Father's will. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, and you are my friends if you do what I command. He said a lot of the same things in several different ways over and over. He's repeating himself, and he's saying, this is really important. You really need to get this, because this is going to affect how you live your life and how people see who you are. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Jesus chose us. We say, I found Jesus. Well, he kind of found you. And he called you. And he chose you. And now he's commissioned you to be a fruitful branch connected to the vine, getting that life-giving source from the vine. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. That's the kind of fruit that Jesus wants. He wants green bananas. Fruit that will last. Boy, that was a way homer. I'm sorry. On the way home, you're going to go, oh, green bananas. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, that you love each other. So Jesus spoke of himself using a metaphor. He said, I'm like a true vine. My Father is the true gardener, and you are the branches. The role of the gardener is to make sure that the vine is fruitful. Jesus said, the gardener does two things to guarantee fruitfulness. One, he cuts off the dead branches that are no longer bearing fruit. Okay? And he also prunes the live branches so that they'll become even more fruitful. So that's what the role of the gardener is. And in horticulture, it's important to plant the right kind of vine or tree to be able to assure the proper quality fruit. Because if you plant good trees, you get good fruit. If you plant bad trees, you get bad fruit. Okay. This is more hard than I thought it was going to be. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. If a follower of Christ is not connected with Jesus in a real, ongoing way, the quality of his or her fruitfulness will be unacceptable. So in order for us to have good, fresh, living, vital fruit in our lives, Jesus wants us to be connected to him in a good, vital, fresh, and real way. Many times we struggle with things in life because we lack that ongoing, life-giving connection of abiding in Jesus. We lack that connection with living in him and obeying his word. We try to make life work apart from abiding in Jesus. Try to make life work apart from our relationship with Christ. We try to become, now that we're saved, we try to become disciples on our own strengths. Now, I know none of you have probably ever done that. Okay? But trust me when I say that some people will try to make life work without depending upon the grace that comes from Jesus to become a different person. In verse 4, he says, remain in me, or abide in me, and I will abide in you. I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, and apart from me, you can do nothing. So we try and we strive to make fruit without being connected to the vine. No bribing, no conniving, no striving will do. They'll never make no change in you. You can hold your breath, stand on your head, but the change won't come till it's Spirit-led. Abiding, that's when the changes come. Abide in Jesus, he's the best at getting it done. Now, a Christian brother, his name was Ben, had a real bad problem seeing without end. His patience at the time got the better of him. He tried many methods, like counting to 10. The harder he tried, the harder it got, and his face would go red, and he'd cuss a lot. He'd confess his sin, and forgiveness came. But then Ben would go out and do it again. What the old boy needed was delivery, and only God's Spirit could set him free. Now, Sister Sue had a problem too, though, not like Ben. She kept her cool, but when it came to gossip, man, that gal could rap. She found it hard to say something kind and wound up hurting someone every time. With a juicy story, she just couldn't shut her trap. But Sue found the secret in taking God's rest, and instead of making promises and doing her best, she lets the Lord take that tongue control. Now, instead of sowing distrust and discord, she's so busy talking about the Lord that she ain't got time to talk about so-and-so. So no bribing, no conniving, no striving will do. They'll never make no change in you. You can hold your breath, stand on your head, but the change won't come until it's Spirit-led. Abiding, that's when the changes come. Abide in Jesus is the best at getting it done. I better keep my day job. But when we become followers, we begin a relationship with Jesus. We start following Jesus, and it's so great to be around Jesus. And then sometimes we start to realize there's some responsibility connected to this hanging around with Jesus. I can't stay the same as I used to be. And we try our own efforts. We try bribing and conniving and striving, and nothing ever helps us to change. It's not a one-time event. It's a long-time relationship. And many who start well in this relationship with Christ do not finish well because at some point they broke off relationship. And the reason the gardener has to come in and saw off the trees that aren't bearing fruit is because all the energy from the tree is growing to grow a branch and no fruit. So all the life-giving energy that was normally designed and intended to grow fruit is now producing wood. And Jesus said, It's not wood that I'm looking for. I'm looking for fruit. It's fruitfulness. Remain in me and you'll become fruitful, not more lumber bearers bearing wood and sticks and things that don't bear fruit. It doesn't take long for a branch to wither and become barren when it's not connected to the vine. The same is true in the followers of Christ. We try to make life work apart from our connection to Jesus. And Jesus said that apart from me, you can do... Oh, now you're warmed up. Okay. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing of kingdom value can be produced with just our own efforts and without the grace of God and being connected to the vine so that it's God's life working through us. That's what he's talking about. He's not saying you can't do nothing. He says you can't do anything of kingdom value without kingdom principles and without being connected to the vine. It means we cannot do anything to be truly productive in the kingdom of God apart from a real vital relationship with Christ. Now he said, in verse 8, he said, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Living a fruitful life is what shows others what God is like. How do they understand that God is compassionate? They see it through a compassionate follower of Christ. How do they see that God is loving? They see it demonstrated in the life of a loving follower of Christ. How do they know that Jesus will forgive their sins? They see forgiveness lived out in the life of followers of Christ. So being fruitful is one of the ways that we reflect the God who saved us and the God who's changed us and the God who's made us to be like his own son. It's not even having spiritual gifts that indicate we're connected to Jesus, but it's having spiritual fruit. Now, what is spiritual fruit? Turn with me to the book of Galatians. We're talking about fruit. For some of you, that might be a new understanding when we say growing fruit. What does that mean, grow fruit? Is it wear a big fruit hat, you know? No. We're talking about fruit, and this is the description of the fruit that is found in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit means it's the evidence of the power that's in that vine is producing this outside on its branches. There's a power of life that is flowing into that vine that comes from the roots. It's flowing through the vine, goes out to the branches, and it produces this kind of visible fruit. So the fruit is the visible reality of what's present that you can't see. People can't see Jesus. They just see you. They just see me. And so Jesus said we are his followers to represent him on the earth. So when they see us, they should get a glimpse of him. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So when the Bible uses the word fruit or fruitfulness, it's talking about the visible part of our life, the behaviors, how we live, what we're known for, what we're known about. The fruit is how people see you. When they see your face, they think of something. What kind of an attribute do they think about when they see your face? Fair question. Because your life should be an expression, an outward visible indicator of an inward commitment to following and being connected to Jesus. It refers to that which is seen, the visible works or behavior, a reflection of a power that can't be seen. How does someone see the power of Christ? They see it lived out in a powerful life that's bearing much fruit. How much more can our message of Christ be have credibility when someone sees the change in us? There's a song I listened to years ago, and it said, if seeing is believing, I have to say I believe because I've seen a change in me. I've seen the changes taking place as I've spent time abiding in Christ, as I've spent time being connected with him and obeying him and following his word. I've seen the changes. I'm not the same person I used to be, and hopefully you're not the same person you used to be. You should be able to look back on your life a little while back, a few weeks, a few months, a few years, a few decades, and say, you know what? I can see the transforming power of being connected to the vine because I see fruitfulness in my life that would not have been there had I not been connected to the vine. Does that make sense? So Jesus is telling us, and the word of God is telling us that What needs to be seen and visible and part of our lives and lived out in our lives is visible fruit, so people can see and recognize God, and they can see and recognize the reality of how God works in the life of one of his followers. The character of the fruit is a reflection of the character of the power producing it. So if it's good fruit, they'll see a good reflection. If they see bad fruit, they'll have a bad reflection. Remember, Jesus said it was the he was the true vine. Now, it's interesting, there's nine different gifts of the Spirit that are identified here. And it seems like they're kind of broken down into three different areas. The first three, love, joy, and peace, seem to be characteristics that have to do with our relationship with God. Love, joy, and peace come from God, and they're reflected in our lives. The next three, patience, kindness, and goodness, have to do with how we relate to one another. If we keep blowing our top all the time and keep getting mad at people and blowing away people in relationships, people don't see the goodness, kindness, and patience in our lives. They begin to wonder about the power in our lives. When they see us gossiping and hurting other people and telling stories all the time, they're going to wonder about is there really a sanctifying power in this person's life? Are they really connected to the vine? Does that make sense? So the amount of fruit that person sees in your life is directly proportionate to the connection that you have with the vine. Okay. And the third area, the last three, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, these kind of define the kind of person that you are. Okay, so the first three talk about us and our relationship. They're directed towards our relationship with the Lord. God's really concerned about our ongoing relationship with him. He knows he loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants it to remain and to abide, to dwell. He wants it to be a permanent thing, not just once in a while I'll drop in, check in, see how things are going. He wants to have a relationship with us. So and the outcome of that relationship is love, joy, and peace that is seen and reflected in our lives. And then God's also concerned about how we get along with each other. People come into church and they see all kinds of stuff going on. So, boy, I'm not sure if there's any power in that place. Or they come in and they see the opposite. They go, man, Jesus is here. These people are amazing. I can see stuff in them that I have longed for. It's drawing us draws people towards Jesus. So love is the first character quality that's listed in the fruit of the Spirit. We love him because he first loved us. It's easy to love someone who loves you first. He loved us when we were not very lovely. He poured his love upon us, and how can you refuse such an amazing offer when he loves us like that? So we respond to his love. We love him back because he first loved us, and we love others with the love that he has first shown us. So we love them even though we don't know anything about them, or we love them even though we know a lot about them. Because we can love them with the same love that he's had for us. When a person no longer is remaining in Christ, we can see a deterioration in the relationships in their life. They have a hard time loving other people. If you want to know how a person is in their relationship with Jesus, if you want to see if a person really loves Jesus, see, do they really love people? A misanthrope is somebody who really loves Jesus, but just doesn't have much use for his followers. They love Jesus, but they just don't like his followers. Well, we can't live that way. We can't be a misanthrope. We can't be someone who only loves Jesus but doesn't love his followers. If you love me, you've got to love my kids, right? If you don't like my kids, you have a hard time with me. You don't love my grandkids, hey, watch out. Ain't no love coming. No. I got to love you just like the Father loved me, even when I was unlovely. Okay. But the important part is that we stay connected to the vine, allowing that love to flow through us, and it flows through us into our relationship with Christ, and it flows through us into our relationships with each other. By this man, all men will know that you are my disciples, John 13, if you love one another. How can they tell the power of God is in us? Because of the amazing love that they see demonstrated in our midst. When we love each other like Jesus loved us, people see that. The world sees that. The world doesn't understand that until they see it and feel it. When you come into a place and you begin to get loved on by people who love Jesus, that has an impact on your soul. I know it did for me. When I first came here, I was a hippie. I had long hair, and I was pretty unlovable. I was pretty whacked out, you know. And when I came here, people that were square, wearing black glasses, and you know, back, they're, of course, they're popular now again, but back then they were square. Now they're cool. But people that were very different from me welcomed me and loved on me, and I could feel the love of God coming through people. It was an amazing thing. Joy, now the second one is joy, and it's not the same as happiness. Happiness is based on events or circumstances. You know, like happy birthday, you know, you have a birthday party, it's a happy time, okay? So it's based on circumstances. Joy is not based on circumstances. You can be in a real miserable place in your relationship. You can be in a real miserable place in your life. You can be going through some serious trials in your life. You can be having some serious difficulty in your life and still have joy. It's not kind of a dumb and happy, like, oh, everything's just rosy, you know. It's not like that. It's not like you're in denial. But you can have a deep sense of, I'm going to be all right. God's going to somehow work this out for his glory and for my benefit. It's going to be okay. I have joy knowing that even though it's hard, it's going to have an outcome that's going to glorify God, and God's going to give me the grace to see me through. So that's different than happiness, but it's a fruit of the Spirit. You can't have joy. You can't fake that. When you're having a really hard time, if it ain't there, it's not coming out. You know what I'm saying? We all know what it's like to, you know, when you know, someone says, don't feed the bear. Don't feed the bear. Let him calm down. Okay. But it's not dependent on outward circumstances. Many times joy can be seen and expressed in the life of the believer in spite of difficult circumstances. And we're praying, oh God, please take this situation away from me. Please change my circumstances. Please change my event. And God says, as soon as you start exhibiting joy, then I'll move you on. But sometimes God's waiting for us to find joy in the Spirit before he moves us out of a circumstance. Imagine that. God can actually use situations for his glory. All things work together for good to those who love and serve God. Even bad circumstances God can use for good to reflect his joy, his love, his peace in the midst of a very trying and difficult situation. Peace. Peace is God's gift to us through Jesus and his death on the cross. If it were not for his sacrifice on the cross, we could not be at peace with God. Jesus came to be our peacemaker. He came to bridge the gap between us and God and cause us to have God's peace. Now this word, the word that's used for peace here in Galatians 5, is used about 80 different times in the New Testament. It's used most of the time to reflect our relationship with the Lord. It's important in the life of the follower to be at peace with God and to know his forgiveness and love for you as well. Now the next three things we'll look at real quickly is patience, kindness, and goodness. Now, first we talked about the first three fruits of the Spirit are kind of towards our relationship with the Lord. God loves us first. God gives us peace. God gives us joy. Then we express that out in how we relate to other people. Next is patience. This is that quality of putting up with some of God's wonderful people. This is patience. It's something that Brother Ben had a hard time with. He had a hard time being patient. And the harder he tried, the harder it got. And I don't know if any of you here have ever had your patience tested. Or could you ever remember a day when they weren't? For me, patience is a way of life. It's a quality that I do not possess. It's a quality that I long for. I've heard about it. I've seen it in other people. I've yearned for it. I've wondered what it was like. You know, I have a weeny bit of patience. I said, Lord, please give me patience quick. And so what he does is he gives me a situation that causes me to go a long time. He goes, you got patience yet? Oh, not yet. Give me patience quick. No, and he just keeps me in that situation so long until finally, okay, I need to let go of the wheel and let Jesus take control. That's a song, and I'm not going to sing that one. Sorry. But I can tell you with authority that patience is not one of my greatest qualities. I hear God say something, I'm going to do this. I go, oh, yes, right away. You know, and he could be thinking like 30 years from now, and I'm thinking 30 minutes from now. So him and I got this long discussion, you know. So patience is something that's really challenging. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to remain connected with Jesus to enable us to show us what true patience means in the midst of trial and suffering. To exhibit patience and to know that God is at work in your life and in your situation, in your circumstance, that's a virtue that the world doesn't see very often. When we can say to them with all humility, and we can say to them with all sincerity, I'm just patiently waiting for God. You know, we used to sing that song, I'm waiting for God, you know. And I didn't like that song very much because I don't like to wait, okay? You know, like it's going to be summer tomorrow. I just get impatient with life sometimes. I get impatient with myself. I get impatient with other people. And God always sets me up for lessons to teach me more patience. Oh, it's just wonderful. And he says that he wants us to exhibit patience because that's a quality that God has. God patiently waits for us. He waits for us very, very patiently until we'll take heed to his call. He's not tapping his foot saying, one more time, Brisson. He's not like that. He's patient, and he'll wait a long time. What I found out is God can actually outlast me. Anybody ever notice that? I'm tapping out. Lord, please let this go away. And then kindness. This is the way which God acts toward all of us. The true follower is to show kindness by behaving towards others the way God has behaved towards you. Kindness is how God treats us. Kindness and patience. God treats us with love and kindness and patience. God never, I saw this cartoon one time of Ziggy, and he was up on the top of this mountain. This is the theology according to Ziggy. He's up on this mountain, and he's seeing it, reading this sign, and it says, beware of the thwop. And he's reading the sign, he's going, I wonder what that means. And right behind him is a giant hand getting ready to flick him off the top of the mountain. And that's the image that we sometimes have of God, that, you know, beware of the thwop. One more time, Brad, off you go, you know. But God's kindness is different than that. God's kindness does not treat us the way our sins deserve. We throw a fit sometimes and say, I don't get what I deserve. Yeah, it's a good thing. Because you don't deserve a lot of what you got. But we want more, and we say that God needs to give us more, and we feel like we deserve it. And he says, you don't deserve what you have, and you don't deserve what you could have. But God shows kindness to us in all those ways. The last one is goodness. And it's difficult to define this because it's related to kindness, but it's different. Goodness in this sense is like being good to somebody even though they don't deserve it. Someone cuts you off in traffic and you just let them go into the, you know, you just let them merge into the line, you know. Someone who doesn't deserve it and you show kindness to them, you show goodness to them. It's heaping up coals on your enemy's head. It's showing them the goodness and kindness even though they know deep inside. You don't even have to tell them. They know I don't deserve this. They know they deserve something else. They deserve to be told something. They deserve to be, you know, to get the what for. But what they're getting instead is goodness and kindness and sincerely. That's the reflecting the Spirit of God. The last three are faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the character qualities directed to the believer, personally defining what kind of person he or she is, and they naturally reflect on others as well. The first one the fruit of our life is to be characterized by faithfulness. Faithfulness is saying, I'd like to show up to be a greeter. I'd like to show up to work in the children's ministry. I'd like to show up to take a turn in the give and take. I'd like to show up and help set up the chairs for the banquet. I'd like to show up and take care of work in the children's ministry class. I'd like to show up and work in the nursery. I'd like to, you know, it's volunteering for something. You put your name on a list. And when the day comes for you to show up, and all of a sudden they go, huh, that person's not here. I wonder what happened. Or the flip side is, you're always there. They say, is that person coming? Yep, they told me they'd be here. Your word is your bond. You'll always do what you say you'll do. And you never go back on it. If you say you're going to do something, you'll follow through it with commitment to faithfulness. That's a fruit that comes from God's Holy Spirit. If you lack that commitment to faithfulness in your life, if you're not a faithful person, if you keep breaking your promises to people, if you keep saying you're going to do something and then you never follow through, if you keep making promises to your spouse or to your kids or to your coworkers or to your friends or your family, you need to be connected to the vine and let Jesus build that into you. Because we need to be a people who can be counted on. We need to be people who say, you need a ride? I'll be there. And then a person waits an hour and a half and goes, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. You know, or you hear the story of, well, never mind. But faithfulness is a quality that means that you're a person that others can really depend on. When you say something, you mean it, and you'll be diligent to carry it out. That means so much to people today. When you say something and you follow through with it, that you're dependable, that you're the kind of person that's always not only there, but you're there early, and you're there with eagerness, and you're there with a good attitude. You're not someone who has to keep being reminded, hey, you remember you said you were going to be committed to this? Can you... No, you're always there, and that's a fruit of God's Spirit working in us. It describes the character of a person who will die for his confession of Christ. And it goes without saying it's also descriptive of the character of Christ. He acts faithfully towards his people. God is a God who is faithful. Jesus is a faithful high priest. He's always interceding on our behalf. Jesus can be counted on because he's faithful. God is faithful. He will never go back on his word. So we need to reflect the faithfulness of God in our behaviors, in our lives, in the fruitfulness in our lives. The next one is gentleness. It describes a person who is so much in control of himself that he is always angry at the right time and not angry at the wrong time. When the Bible says don't be angry, it doesn't say don't ever be angry. It's talking about being angry for the right thing at the right time. Because there's a time for Christians to be angry. There's a time for us to be angry at injustice. There's a time for us to be angry at mistreatment. There's a time for us to be angry at hypocrisy. There's a time for us to be angry at selfishness that we see, things that we see in our own life. To be angry enough to say, God, I am tired of being this way. I want to be connected to the vine. I want to be a different kind of person. So gentleness is the person who knows how to be angry at the right time and not angry at the wrong time, not like Brother Ben. Self-control is that quality that gives victory over sinful desires of our hearts and minds. It's the power that comes from living a life connected to Jesus and following him as the Lord of our life. Self-control is just simply that. And we can only control ourselves to the degree that we're connected to the vine and allowing his Holy Spirit, his grace to give us the ability to control those sinful urges. We have sinful urges and sinful impulses and words come out and attitudes come out because we lack that connectedness to the vine of self-control. And these are things that we interact with each other. The faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control. These are things that interact and bump around with each other. And if you're the kind of person that can be trusted in, you're the kind of person who doesn't blow up when things don't go right, but you just kind of roll with the punches, you show patience and kindness, and you're showing self-control. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, back in John chapter 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 12, my command is this, that you love each other as I have loved you. And then down in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So God's calling us to be followers of Christ. He's calling us to live a life that's fruitful. He's causing us to live a life that demonstrates the power that's at work in us being lived out in attributes and qualities that people can see that are real and genuine and that are based on God's Holy Spirit. We can never be good enough on ourselves. We can never try enough. We can never bribe and strive and connive to get things done. But it has to come from our abiding relationship with Christ, with us living our lives connected to him. Many who start well in their relationship with Christ don't finish well because at some point they break off their relationship with Christ. So if you want to see how a person's doing with Christ, see how they're doing with other people. Because if you love Jesus, you're going to love his people. And the more time you spend with Jesus, The more time you spend in prayer with him, the more time you spend connected with him, the more time you spend in communication with him, the more you become convinced of what he's really concerned with. And the more you begin to pray about what's on his heart, and the more you begin to get the burden that he has, and then you begin to start walking in his love and his purposes and his mission. At the same time, followers of Christ who try to make life work apart from their connection to Jesus, Jesus said that apart from him, we can't do anything by ourselves. It's only through our connection with the vine. So the character of the fruit is a reflection of the character of the power producing it. Would you all stand with me, please? I want to end like this morning. Obviously, we never want to embarrass anybody. But if you feel like there's some areas that you've been struggling with, some areas where maybe you're seeing that there's a lack of connection between you and the vine, a lack of connection between you and Jesus, because you're seeing some stuff in your life that you want to just be closer to Jesus and see some of that stuff go away. You want to see transformation take place as you remain in him, as you abide in him, as you live in him. If you're like that this morning and you feel like you'd like some prayer, I would like to just encourage you just to come forward and just come on down in the front here. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to make a big issue out of it. We just want to pray with you. If you've never accepted Christ, but you feel like, I'm just a stick of wood. I need to be locked into that vine. I want to be growing. I want to be fruitful in my life. I don't want to just be dead wood and cut off and used and burned up. I want to actually have my life count for something. I want there to be fruit in my life, fruit that's good and fruit that will last. If you feel like you've never made that decision, I'd like to just encourage you just to come on forward. We want to be here to pray with you, to encourage you. I'd like to have the care leaders come forward, elders come forward. We're just going to take a few minutes to just kind of end the service. I know you have to, those of you that have children in the children's ministry, in a few moments, as we begin to pray, you'll want to go and get your kids so that they can be set free. Kids, church workers want your kids to have delivery. They want you to experience delivery this morning. Delivery of those little souls. But Jesus is here this morning, and in all of his kindness, in all of his goodness, in all of his patience, in all of his love, in all of his joy, in all of his peace for you, he's calling you. He's just saying, I'm not here to scold you. I'm not here to point my finger at you and say one more time, give you the thwop. He's here to say, I love you. I want to see you victorious. I want to see you joyful. I want to see you fruitful. I want to see things in your life that matter. So we're going to just end the service, and I'd like to encourage others to just come down, and you see someone standing around here, just come down and pray for them. And just ask God to just meet with them here this morning. Just we're going to close like this, where we're going to just see God work in people's lives, touch people's hearts, encourage people. And so let's pray, and then we'll come down and pray for those that are down here. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have the privilege of knowing you. You are the vine, and we are the branches, and we simply can't change ourselves. We really need you to change us. The power that comes from within, the Holy Spirit that comes within, is the one that changes us and makes us to be a reflection of you. So, Father, touch your people this morning. Bless them today. Encourage them today. Give them strength and grace in new areas, Father. Let them see old things fall away. Let them see old habits begin to change. And let them see things that they struggled with begin to just disappear as they spend time abiding with you, remaining in you, and obeying your word. Let your Holy Spirit just have your way in this place, Father. Let there be liberty today. Let there be delivery today. Let your Holy Spirit bring freedom. And Father, I just ask you to bless your people as they go. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Come and pray. Pray and get your kids.